It depends which Commonwealth country it is. If you're Australian, and you're from New Zealand and Canada, it's relatively easy. Harder if you're from a lot of the African Commonwealth countries, or from the Indian subcontinent and the Caribbean. But again, it's on sort of a case-by-case basis.
Let's go with an Australian example for argument's sake. How easy is it coming for an Australian to come and live and work in the UK?
Well, I said it's the easiest out of the Commonwealth, but it's still very difficult if you're sort of a non-EU country. You can access the Tier 5 youth visa, and that's for 18 to 30-year-olds. So Australians can come to the UK, and equally, Brits can go over to Australia for 2 years. Or you can get something called a Tier 2 visa, and that's for skilled workers. But you only get about 20,000 of those a year, and that's what government's tightening. So you've got high-skilled Australians that are struggling to live and work in the UK.
Yeah, and the UK's in recent times seen a number of Commonwealth nationals fall away in terms of people coming over to the UK. Why are we seeing this sort of crackdown?
Really, it's the government target that's been set to reduce the net immigration from the hundreds of thousands to the tens of thousands, and the only lever open to the government is to reduce the numbers of sort of non-EU nationals. And again, the near majority of Commonwealth countries are non-EU nationals, and the impact sort of inadvertently has been on Commonwealth citizens, and particularly Australians and Indians.
So this research and the sort of question you asked, to make it easier for the ability to live and work freely among Australians, New Zealanders, Canadians, and more members of the Commonwealth, that just sort of bring it more in line with the EU countries?
I think really it's about a starting point. We haven't got a fixed position. We obviously did the polling to ascertain public opinion, and as you can see, public opinion was extremely favourable. 82% of Kiwis were in favour, 70% of Australians, and 75% of Canadians. And really, we just want to start a conversation, with people, and where they can speak to their parliamentarians and governments to see if we can get a sort of a more flexible visa regime or labour mobility regime. It may look like the EU, it may look like the Trans-Tasman travel arrangement between you guys and New Zealand. Obviously you have caveats, but that's for the governments themselves to decide between one another. But we just want to start this conversation and hopefully lead to some positive public policy.
Yeah, it seems like a rite of passage for a lot of young Australians to go over to the UK and work for a year. And no surprise to see there is such support for this poll that you put out. But why do you think it's such a popular thing that a lot of, Australians and New Zealanders and Canadians want to come and do?
I think it's also about skills. Obviously, when you're younger, you might not have all the skills that you want. So again, you say rite of passage for 1 or 2 years, and that's obviously the Tier 5 youth visa, which is open to those groups of people. But if anything, it's the skilled migrants. It's the high-skilled Australians that want to obviously ply their trade in the UK or other countries, and it's very difficult for them to do that. And obviously having freer labour mobility for Australians to come to the UK, and equally Brits to come over to see you guys and work hard, that's being curtailed, and that's something that I want to see changed.
Some controversy in this area was around an amount of money. It comes to about 400 Australian dollars to be asked of those working migrants to pay towards the NHS. Do you think that's a fair thing to charge?
Well, again, it's the National Health Service, not the International Health Service. But I think the interesting thing here is if you're an EU national, you don't have to pay. So again, it's this whole sort of in-out scenario where someone from, say, Germany won't have to pay, but Australians obviously have to pay 400 Aussie dollars. So if it's a National Health Service, then one would argue that Brits shouldn't have to pay, or they pay through taxes, and others should have to pay a fee. But it seems to be one rule for one set of people and one rule for another, which I don't think is really that fair. I mean, Australia had a reprieve with the New Zealanders for a year, whereas Canadians had to start paying last year. I don't think it's a very sort of well thought out system, and I'd urge the government to look at it again.
Now, we're talking obviously about working and working visas and the like, but what about the area of education? Would you like to see changes in this area too, of having, UK universities taking more international students from the Commonwealth?
Well, absolutely. Again, if anything, that would have sort of a longer resonance. And the UK, the system is we actually include students in our sort of net migration targets, and that's the problem. But of course, you know, if you're on your final year of university, you know, you'll then probably leave and go back. But then obviously you gain more for a new first year. So you would argue that it's cyclical. So the numbers would stay relatively the same. And again, if it's reciprocal, and you have Brits obviously studying in you know in Australia, and the numbers would go up, then you have obviously emigration and immigration. So I think it's healthy and sort of have that cross fertilization. And I strongly encourage you know, Brits to go to Australia and study, and vice versa.
So what do you see as the next step to sort of get the wheels rolling on this, Tim? Do you think policymakers are taking notice of this huge support of this poll?
They're taking notice, but again, I think this is very much a long-term goal. It's not going to happen overnight. Obviously, we've got the EU referendum, you know, for Brits, and also Commonwealth citizens in the UK actually have a historic right to vote, and there's about just under 1 million of those voters. So obviously, I would urge them to use their democratic voice, whether that's to remain in the EU or to leave. It's totally up to them. But really, I think it's a case that it's going to take a long time. It's going to be done bilaterally. But I really want to start this sort of grassroots campaign where people come forward and offer their sort of anecdotal stories of what it's like living and working in the UK or Australia and how difficult it is, and to contact their MP and explain their story, and to get MPs sort of agitated and animated about this, and to then sort of petition Parliament, and hopefully slowly but surely we'll make some inroads.
All right, great team. Thanks so much for talking to us on 2SER.
Thank you.